Dear Father, I pray that the things that were said and the things that were prophesied, I pray that I become a fulfiller of that today. The things that I share, may it bring revelation, may it bring insight, may it feed your people the things that they need. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of stepping up to the dinner table. And every time I do, I always expect a good meal. And Father, today I pray that the things I share with your people will be fulfilling for them. They will get an understanding. And they will appropriate their faith according to what the Word of God says. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you will, open your Bibles up. To Romans chapter 3. I want to water you today because some of you are not getting the fruit out of the ground. You got seed in you, but I don't see the seed coming to harvest yet in some of you. There's nothing more fulfilling than to have a child of God come up to you and say, Pastor, because of what you had shared, I had received my healing. Nothing's sadder than to see people go in a direction that is not conducive for the faith. The Bible talks about people having faith, but the Bible is very clear that it has to be the faith, or the faith of God. And I've encountered several believers more recently than ever, not really knowing the faith of God. They think they're in faith, but they've been deceived. And so my hope today is that I say things that will bring you out of some form of deception. And that what it'll do is it'll give you the knowledge that is necessary for God to bring an increase to, for you to succeed. Amen. We're going to talk about in verse 3, Romans chapter 3. Let's go to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Actually, the word "the" is not there. So the righteousness of God is without law and is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, and I want you to underline, through the redemption that is, notice this, in Christ Jesus. There's one word that we seem to forget, and that's that little word, in. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important that you understand this statement, because the next verse, he uses a word that literally consummates that is in Christ Jesus. What is in Christ Jesus? The redemption. The redemption. Or we could say the ransom. The ransom. Now, here it is. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, and to declare, I say, this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles, yea, of the Gentiles also? Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now today I want to bring to your understanding of what our redemption is really all about. The basic foundation of what our redemption is about. There are three things that we have been redeemed from. Three things. Number one is poverty. We have been redeemed from poverty. Number two, we've been redeemed from sickness. From sickness. And number three, death. And that's not talking about physical death, it's talking about spiritual death. So, the redemption that is in God is threefold. It is poverty, it is sickness, and it is death. Now, we have scripture that covers all three. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it talks about Jesus becoming poor, that we might be rich. And in James 1:9, it says, let the brother in low degree and rejoice in that he is exalted. He is exalted. And what he was referring to there is a man who is in poverty. He says he can rejoice in that he is exalted. What it literally means is God's going to bring him to a place where he will literally be delivered of poverty. Then the next verse it says, and he that is rich and that he is made low. And he wasn't talking about taking money from the rich. He was talking about removing pride from rich people. Are you following me? That have a love for money. It is the root where which all evil comes from. Money is not evil. God loves money. God loves wealth. And godly people should love money, should love wealth, but not the kind of love where you will pay whatever price it is to get money, even at the expense of your spirituality, because then you are a liar. I've seen Christians taken out spiritually because they had this testimony that God is calling them to make money at the expense of their food, their spiritual food, and as a result of it, they have backslid and gone back into the world. Why? Because what happened is it was just an excuse to get out of the responsibility of spiritual things and go on into natural things. And you're just caught up in the cares of the world and you're just as backslid as somebody else if you have more consideration for being there on the almighty dollar than being there when it comes time for food, spiritual food. Now, he said, and that the rich is made low, meaning that pride is removed from them so God can use the money that they possess. Now, let's take a little further look at this situation by turning over to Galatians chapter 3, first of all. Galatians chapter 3. You know, let's stop there just for a minute. Let's stay at verse 25 for a minute. I want to capitalize on something here. That people make this statement, but they don't understand what this statement is. A religious man doesn't understand the word propitiation. Why? Because he violates that word every time he opens his mouth. What is a propitiation? It means, this word means literally, to bring God into a favorable position to bless you. Is that what it means? To bring God into a favorable position to bless you? This word propitiation is never used that way. Matter of fact, when you see the term propitiation, it validates the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, not men. So the word propitiation literally means to gain favor by an appeasement. To gain favor by an appeasement. In other words, it's never used as man moving God into a favorable position over them. It's always used of God bringing the appeasement or the sacrifice that's needed for mankind. Not what mankind needs to be of God to do, but what God has done for mankind. That's propitiation. It is a term used, literally, of a statement you find in the heathens. That's where it was first used in heathenistic terms. It means to make an appeasement for the gods. Or the type of God that mankind serve, which be no God, make an appeasement to that God and you'll get the blessings out of that God. Well, this word, what Paul did is he took this word and he made this statement. If you really want to use the word propitiation, then use it this way, that God has given us the ultimate sacrifice for redemption in our life to be consummated through His Son, period, over and out. You can't do anything to earn the favor of God. God has given you favor through His Son. It is not earnable. It is not obtainable by any works of your own. It is freely given by the living God. Glory to God. That means that I'm blessed. Not because I pray more than anybody else. Not that I give more than anybody else. Not that I attend church more than anybody else. That is not why I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed of God because God is a blesser. And He loves mankind. So if I go to church more than anybody else, if I pray more than anybody else, it's simply because God has moved in my heart to make me so fall in love with Him that I freely give Him myself because His sacrifice was sufficient. Amen. No price tag can be put on God. But God is concerned about what price tag you put on your own soul. Redemption. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to learn so many good things here real quick like. It helps to go over your previous mentor's work. He says things that you catch that you never caught before. In Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. Notice this, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Of course, the Spirit he's referring to there is the new birth. But notice what he says. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what does it mean by this curse that has been added to the law? Well, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let's look at some statements back there. And I have to clarify something before we really understand the redemptive work of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to make a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Anything that we've been redeemed from belongs to us. Anything that we've been redeemed from belongs to us. I just want to make this bold statement. To redeem means to pay the price that the ransom requires. to pay the price for what the ransom requires. God brought me to a deeper understanding of the Word this year. You know what it is? To take what I know and act on it. It's very deep. It's one thing to have it here. It's one thing to understand it. But it's another thing to do it. I've had to do some things recently that it's like walking out on this plank on a ship, jumping into a water that you'd lose your life over. But I call it jumping into the trust of the Word of God and what you've been redeemed from. Now, in the Old Testament, you've got to understand there was only partial knowledge or partial understanding in the Old Testament. Where in the New Testament, you have what you call complete revelation. In Colossians 1, verse 25 through 27, Paul makes the statement that he was called to complete or fulfill the Word of God. To bring a completion to it that was not revealed in the Old Testament. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Paul makes the same statement. He said there were things that were not revealed in the Old Testament that are now made clear, New Testament. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the writer, which I believe is Paul, literally and plainly said this. He said that God spoke unto mankind through the law and the prophets, but hath in these last days only speaks one way, and that is through His Son. Right. Right. Amen. And yet, a lot of people want to go back to the law and the prophets to get a word from God. And you have to be careful when you do that, because when you go back into the Old Testament to get an understanding of what you've been redeemed from, you're going to run into a lot of problems. Such as, I create evil. And I create good. It really gets you to wonder, and those kind of statements will throw you off. That's why you have to go back and understand your redemptive rights in the New Testament as the Son speaks to you before you can go back and understand the statements in the Old Testament. Dr. Robert Young is the author of this book, Hints to Bible Interpretation. Hints to Bible Interpretation. He says this. He points out that in the original Hebrew, the verb is in the permissive rather than the causative sense. The Hebrew verb is always in the permissive, never the causative sense. He said many times it should have been translated, the Lord will allow you to be smitten, will allow these plagues. Many other verbs were translated in the causative sense in the King James Bible, whereas the original Hebrew verbs were in the permissive. Example, Isaiah 45:7, the Bible tells us very clearly that Satan is the author of sickness and disease and evil. But over in Isaiah 45:7, it clearly says, I create good and evil. Well, we know God doesn't create evil. Because the Bible tells us, New Testament, Satan is the author of sickness and disease, and all that is evil. Right. See, and so when you're getting in the Old Testament, you get into partial knowledge, you got to realize these were men God were dealing with according to the flesh, and they didn't have spiritual insight that we do unless God spiritually, literally appeared before them. Right. Because he had to deal with men by their senses. When you get over into the New Testament, it's a different ballgame. You are now redeemed by the curse of the law. Why? Because the redemptive rights are not in you. They're in Jesus Christ. Right. They're in Him.
Amen.
See what people don't understand about divine healing. Divine healing. Divine healing is not natural healing. Divine healing is an interruption of sickness being cured. That's why Kenneth Hagin says that mankind has three ways that they deal with healing. One way is like a Christian Science, healing of the mind. They try to get their healing through their mind. And then doctors, all they can do is heal you through your body. That's why when you get healed in our church, someone just said they got healed in our church, went back and they were real accustomed because they got healed twice of cancer. Oh, I think it was Tony. And he said they went back and just said, well, it was just a mis-evaluation. Because you see, they're limited to only bringing healing through the body, the physical body. That's all they're designed to work with. Unless you get a doctor that's spiritual. Kenneth Hagin had one that ran around. Matter of fact, Sue and I know the people personally. Remembered spilling some stuff on her coat and had to. But that doctor gave you an opposition. He gave you a choice. He says, well, you can either be healed by me, or you can take these scriptures and be healed by God. And he says, the unbelievers always took the scriptures where the Christians always took him. And I says, well, then unbelievers can get healed? He says, yeah, they get healed all the time, but they always come back to me for salvation. He said he's let more unbelievers to the Lord through laying hands on them and transmitting the anointing of God to heal them. Isn't that interesting? Deuteronomy 30. Let's go to verse 9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn not unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, is it not hidden from thee, neither is it far off? It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. Does it sound familiar, what I'm reading here? Doesn't it sound like Romans chapter 10? See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Boy, that sells it right down. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God will bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou possess over Jordan to go and to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You know, I was listening to a tape by Kenneth Hagin, and he was talking about divine healing, the important things that you need to know about divine healing. He said something that caught my attention. I'd never caught it before. Never caught it. He said, there is no such thing as the nation of Israel, ever having sickness, ever having plagues, ever having diseases, when they were always in fellowship with the Lord and doing what God asked. He said when they came out of Egypt, he said there was not one feeble one among them. Their clothes fail not. He provided food for them. He took care of them. Why? They were in the perfect will of God. What were they doing? Leaving the land of Egypt.
Yep.
Perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. You know, I do understand 2 Corinthians 10 now real clear. Where our warfare really is. Our warfare challenges us to what we've been redeemed from. And Kenneth Hagin made this statement, and it just ignited my spirit. He says the problem with too many Christians are who are praying for things that already belong to them, and it's a prayer of unbelief. He says what they need to do is appropriate what belongs to them and appropriate it over to other people that it's been given to them, not ask God for it, but appropriate it. And he says one of the things about sickness is that too many Christians are praying for God to heal them when they're not appropriating what God has already provided, which is sickness. No, healing. He says, I don't pray for healing. He says, I just go into scriptures where it talks about what belongs to me, and I appropriate them over my life, and I receive my healing every time. He says, it doesn't mean that my body doesn't get old and break down. But he says, bless God, when I go home, I'm just going to fall asleep in the Lord, a healed, well man. And he did die that way.
Yeah.
But you know, we as Christians, we think this way because we've been so churched. Well, that's a little far-fetched, don't you think? After all, people do get sick. Well, the problem that many of us have is that we have too many witnesses of men rather than the witness of God. What is it about us? Are we afraid to step out and trust God for what He's already given us? Are we afraid of that? Well, a lot of times the reason we're afraid of that is because we have what we call this warfare that's going on in our head called reasonings. And you define reasonings by, are you ready? By the what? The redemptive work of God, whenever you start to appropriate it, it says these reasonings, they speak against the knowledge of God. Have you guys ever read that in 2 Corinthians 10?
Yep.
Yep. He said that our warfare truly is with the reasonings that speak against what belongs to us. And we've got to get to a place in our life where we got to trust God from what He says more than what our carnal mind says or what the devil implants there.
Right.
Or what man put there.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 4 says, the fowls of the air, they come and they snatch the seed. But later on in the parable, it says the guy that develops his faith becomes a tree, and then the fowls of the air are harbored or nestled in his branches. Because they didn't take the seed. Steal it. I don't know how many times I heard the testimony of my teachers at Ramah say, all about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They all confronted, the minute they wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, there was already somebody there to say that that has passed away. That is no longer for today. That was back for these nations that didn't understand the Word of God so they could go and preach to them nations in their language. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. Boy. Now, notice some statements here. He says, say not that I will ascend up into heaven. That is to bring it unto us. That we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond any reachable place, like a sea. But he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. And you know, people, if it isn't in your heart, it won't be in your mouth. If it isn't in your heart, it won't be in your mouth. Why is the Word of God so powerful in your mouth, on your lips? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it so powerful by being on your lips? Because you have a voice going off here. And you counter this voice. You isolate. You control your thinking by what comes out of your mouth. Because Kenneth Hagin said, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your spirit. And the only way that you're going to be at peace with that doubt is that some faith comes out of your mouth. That's how you release your faith. He says, I am convinced. You got to say it more than anything else. You've just got to say it. And he said, the more I said something, the more I said something, the more I said it, the more I finally heard it. And the more I finally received it. In the latter part of his life, Paula was telling me about a tape she was listening to about Kenneth Hagin getting diabetes. Sugar diabetes. Or wasn't it sugar diabetes? Or... Yeah. One of the things, he said what he does is that he always stayed in the Word. He says, he that keeps his mind on thee stays in perfect peace. And so whenever sickness or disease or something attacked his body, he began to listen to this voice that would literally try to bring him down in the natural. And he said what he'd do is he would speak against that natural thinking, that reasoning. Because you can always have a reason for why you're where you're at. You know? And he'd just sit there and confess that word and confess that word and confess it and confess it until he knew something on the inside switched. There was a little click in him. And then he would act on what he was confessing. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what, as your pastor, that's what I'm going to start doing before the return of the Lord. I'm going to start taking action on what I know. I'm not going to sit there and put my head into gear and let the reasoning of my head cheat me any longer from what has been paid for me. I think it's I'll tell you what, these heroes of faith, when they go on home to be with the Lord, they got a lot of fruit. And I'm beginning to see if we don't follow their commitment of being a performer of the Word of God, faith could be lost. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to see a lot of people that have a right to life and the pursuit of happiness and peace. And I'm seeing them go home of a terrible disease or whatever it is, and they don't have to go that way. Right. They don't have to die. They can fulfill their calling in their ministry. Now let me ask you something. Go over to 1 John chapter 3. And let's go to verse 8. He that committeth sin. Now this is referring to a habitual thing. He that committeth sin habitually is of the devil, for the devil, notice this, is the one that sinneth from the beginning. It is the devil. Over in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, Jesus said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In Luke chapter 13 verses 11 through 16, Jesus went and healed a woman that was called the daughter of Abraham. And he said, whom Satan hath bound, lo these 18 years. Whom Satan hath bound, lo these 18 years. Sickness is from the devil, people. It's not from God. And when people say sickness is from God, I'm going to tell you right now, they're liars. Because there's no evil that come out of my heavenly Father. None. And I'm going to see a glorious revival, not only in my lifetime, but those around me, because I'm going to stand firm and lay my hands on the works of the devil and watch them get diminished. Amen. We all need that kind of understanding. Right. Notice this. He that habitually practiced sin is of the devil. You know when Jesus healed people? You know what he told them? He said, go and sin no more, at least the worst thing come on you. And when sin and sickness come back on you, it's either because you're ignorant of the knowledge of what rightfully belongs to you, and you trust in doctors more in the bodily healing than the spirit. God heals you through your spirit. You've got to get your healing through spiritual development. You understand? You can't get your healing from your head. You got to get it from what you've been redeemed from. Why would he carry sickness and disease? Why would he carry it? Because you and I are not heads, and we don't know how to bring something to completion. But he does, so trust in him. So our redemption is in Christ Jesus. Trust in him. Well, I don't always do the right thing. I don't always eat the right thing. I wish the Bible had told us eat the right thing and you can get healed. You and I know that if we're going to go out and just abuse our physical body, then don't expect the healing. Don't expect the healing except God will tell you, don't go back into the thing you've been in. And you won't get sickness. But it's funny how people already tell us, well, you can't receive your healing now because after all, you're not doing the right thing. Well, let's do the right thing and get our healing now. Amen. Let's start flying now. Amen? Amen? Don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. Amen. Notice what he says here. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the Greek, the word for destroy is that he might undo the works of the devil. Glory to God. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The Old Testament centers around the word lutrosis. Lutrosis. This comes off the word lutro, which means to release on receipt of ransom. Abraham, I will account it unto you as righteousness. Why? Because he couldn't make Abraham righteous yet. He himself hadn't come out of the grave. And so in the Old Testament, how they got healed, same process. The word of God is nigh thee, even than thine heart and thy mouth. Same process. But guess what? Different positions. In the Old Testament, they were slaves. They weren't born of God. New Testament were sons. So in the Old Testament, what they did is that when they observed God, kept his law to the best of their ability, and sought after God, guess what God did? He considered that good credit for them to be healed by. They were healed on credit.
Yep. Yes, sir.
The MasterCard did work for them. I need a healing. Put my MasterCard in the slot. Chink! You women ought to know what that's all about. Boom! My gosh, it's covered. And every time they used their MasterCard, it was accounted to them for the ransom. But when Jesus came out of the grave, all those charge slips paid off. Now, don't expect that from your creditors today. That don't work that way. But I like the word propitiation. It means to gain favor by an appeasement, a sacrifice. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. He paid the price. In closing, turn over to Isaiah 53. We're going to have a good time. Isaiah 53. Boy, I'll tell you, these prophets, we wonder, how can they be so bold? How can they do all this stuff? It seems like I'm a... Well, you got to remember, Christ appeared to them physically. We think it's such a momentous thing that they've done. You know, today, the mantle's been done away with. The mantle we possess today is all of us have received the mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament's where they transferred mantles. Not today. We're sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. Now, in Isaiah 53, I want you to write this down because we're going to get in to something that is literally going to cause you to not only shout, but to begin again to believe in what rightfully belongs to you. In Isaiah 53, at verse 1, he says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, we know he's talking about that which is natural. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now let's stop. I want you to write this down. Verse 4, 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4. He is talking about... Or verse 3, he's talking about sickness. Verse 4 and 5... He's talking about mental sickness, mental things. And verse 6 on through to verse 12, he's talking about spiritual death. Did you get that written down? We don't understand. Until recently, we have never really understood Isaiah 53. Now it's made so clear to me. We understand it in the Hebrew words. Now, is it wrong to believe and trust on what we've been redeemed from? Well, we know it isn't. But we have to appropriate it. We have to appropriate what already belongs to us. Not a wishful hoping. I'm talking about a hope that brings substance to your faith. Many of us don't know how to keep vision. If you learn how to keep vision, and God is the author of the understanding of vision, He tells you how to keep vision. He tells you how to keep vision. Matter of fact, did you know that righteousness, your righteousness, you know what that really means? When God has made you righteous? You know, it's predicated on redemption. We just read it over there in Romans 3. Why is understanding righteous so important? Why is it important for you and I? Because the term righteousness literally means the freedom. The freedom. The right. To an area in which a person is free to act. It's free to act. It's free to act. Did you guys get something here today? Somebody said, I want the deepness of God's Word. Well, I'll tell you what the depth of God's Word is, people. Doing it.
Yes.
You can't get much deeper.
That's right.
If you do it, you brought it to completion. Mm-hmm. If you do it, you brought it to completion. You know, doctors, they can diagnose physically what's wrong with you, and they're not liars. People said doctors are liars. They are not. Doctors do not have a reputation of lying. Doctors bring a fear of the truth that they speak. They bring a fear of the truth that they speak. Janice knows what I'm talking about. She's around doctors 24 hours a day, almost 7 days a week. Well, I don't know if it's that much, but you know how they think. You know how they speak. And they've been criticized for the things that they've said and they've spoken. And I think it doesn't mean to abuse the information they give us, but it doesn't mean that let their words be the final say or authority over your life when you have already been ransomed. If you come under condemnation, just because you ended up physically the way you are, because you've abused yourself, get back on the right track, treat yourself proper, and then believe for your healing. Don't sit there and let the devil say, well, you got to stay in it because you did it. You did it. You did it. Well, big deal. I did it. But Jesus did something to counteract it. I missed the mark, but I'm on track now, thank you. Glory to God. Amen? Kenneth Hagin said, there's nothing wrong with taking aspirin. I just passed a lot of them up. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we the American church needs a good baptism of repentance, not to trust in what you've already paid for. That's a slap in your face, Lord. I'm not going to continue on that road. I am going to try what you've given me. I'm going to evaluate and seek out my own faith and see whether I be in the faith. And if I find that I'm in the faith, I'm going to appropriate what you've already given me. Father, I pray everyone does the same thing here today. There's nothing wrong to seeing whether we're in the faith or not. That gives us discernment from keeping from doing stupid things. But Father, because you've given us the Holy Ghost, He can speak to our hearts. He can give us the discernment that's necessary to act upon the redemptive rights that we have. Father, today I take communion with respect to truth. Father, help me. Help me for my unbelief in the past. Father, I want to do what is already given to me, and I don't want to distrust you. It says the fearful will not have their place in heaven. And I'm not going to be fearful anymore. Father, you're going to help me. You're going to strengthen me. And I feel that everyone in here has that same attitude. We're not going to have a line today, but we're going to have communion. I want the ushers to come forward. You should have already been coming forward. Get these and give them the trays and pass the tray on to the one next to you. We're going to have communion today. We're going to settle some issues in our heart with our Lord. We as American churches, they say revival won't happen in America. Why can't it? We can get on fire for God. We just have to jerk the slats out of our oops behind. We need a swift kick. Don't let people label us. I mean, we ought to really shine being amidst the tradition. We ought to really shine. Amen. We ought to be a church determined to bring ourselves to the place of revival. We're crying out to God for revival. God's crying out, come on up where He is. Get up here. Say not in your heart, I'll ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. That's not faith. One of these days, I know revival's going to hit. Revival's in us. It's in us. Revival's in us. It's in our heart and in our mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Like our little lady over here with her ears sealed up. Hallelujah. Yeah. She just got to learn the English language now that she can hear. The rest of them are going to get healed too. Praise God. We believe that. Her little friend, she wasn't here when we gave the testimony. She's the one instrumental in helping his sister. Stand up, sweetheart. Stand up. Yes. That little gal right there. Hallelujah. We need more people like that, assisting to believe, assisting to see healed. Amen. And some Christians, you just can't heal. Why? They've been down the road of reasoning so many times, they just don't understand what they believe. Remind me of Balaam's donkey. Ride around on some donkey. And then God has to supernaturally speak through the donkey. I didn't say the other word. You're all sitting there wondering when he's going to say the wrong word. Hallelujah. That donkey you might be riding might turn around and say, "Whoa, that would catch your attention." When we take communion this morning, I want to focus in on one thing. I want to focus in on the message I brought you. What we've been redeemed or ransomed from. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. If you tried to manipulate, you tried to do it on your own good favor or works, whether you can get it or not, you need to repent from that. Anything that belongs to you, reach out and grab it. Lord told me, you better not join your faith with just everybody. Be careful, because sometimes they don't have faith. He told me too, he says, when you pray for the unbeliever, he says you appropriate healing for him. When you pray for your people, you appropriate healing for them. The ability to bring it to pass is up to you guys. The reason we take communion, this is one way that you will not get God to work on your behalf, and that is your walk with your brothers or your sisters, the body of Christ. One place to start is making sure you have a clean heart with those that you walk with. Because if you don't have a clean heart, then you'll be sentenced right along with the world. Hallelujah. In the night in which he was betrayed, he broke bread. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which was broken for you." So that we would remain intact and undivided. So that being a part of the body of Christ would have an effect. So go ahead and take it. In that same evening, when he said that, he took the wine. He said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." That literally means the giving of that life. The life is in the blood. And he said, "Take and drink and do it as often as you would in remembrance of me." The blood is the ability to cleanse our walk with each other. To cleanse our walk with God. Hallelujah. How? Through the life that is in us. Hallelujah. If you will, pass your cups to the center aisle. The ushers will be glad to pick it up. Did you guys get something here today? Father, we want to be doers of your word. More than anything else, Father. And as your people leave today, Father, I pray that they also want to go into the depths of your word by performing it. I want to encourage everyone to perform the word of God. Be a doer of it at all cost. Father, we will be so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that has been new here today, and they would like to be prayed for salvation, then we would love to take the moment to join our faith with yours for the new birth. Salvation is spiritual rebirth, which is more important than anything else. Hallelujah. So if you'd like to respond to that, please feel free to join us. Come here, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? The Holy Ghost is all over you, honey. Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
I'm trying to get here Easter Sunday morning with Jerry. But I was right before I can get here.
You was right before I got here.
Before I could get to the service, yeah.
Lord. Father, right now, I want a lady up here, Janice. Come here, honey. Where's Janice at? Well, I can bless. I want Janice here. Father, what's your name?
Lena.
Lena. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, body, reach your hands towards her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you free her up right now from the works of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Father, let your spirit be upon her. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to go with the sweetheart here.